We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Week 15 edition of the Prime Point Show. I am back after a one-week vacation to the House of the Mouse down there in Florida. Glad Dean could fill in for everybody, but happy to be here. Not with my regular crew. Graham had a late call-in, had a family emergency he had to get to, but there is a deep bench at the fantasypoints.com. We've got Chris back. He was on, I think, in week four. Something like that. One of the big data guys at Fantasy Points. Happy to have you back, Chris. What's going on?
Excited to be back. Yeah, I think week four is a crazy charting week for us, always early in the season. And this week was also crazy with multiple like super long games. So I feel like it feels like I'm right back to week four again. So we're right back at it.
Cleveland Jaguars game still going on, right?
Yeah. Oh,
it still is. Jake is here as well. Jake, happy to have you back. What happened last week? How was it with Dean? And what are we looking forward to for week 15?
Yeah, it was great with Dean last week. Always enjoy talking to Dean. Real nice guy. Love his takes. Although, you know, always disappointing to miss out on some of Britt's great picks. Yeah, so my big takeaway from week 15 was that Cincinnati Bengals are a running back centric offense with Jake Browning under center. Joe Mixon has recorded two of the top 30 running back workloads by expected fantasy points of the season over his last two games, and the Bengals pass rate over expectation has been effectively neutral over that stretch. If we extrapolate Joe Mixon's stats from Jake Browning starts over the full six over the full season, Mixon would be the RB1 by usage and the RB2 by production. He sadly isn't on the main slate, but Joe Mixon is priced as the RB3 at just 6,600. On the Saturday three-game slate, I know Chase Brown is working in a little bit. I imagine some people are going to want to play Chase Brown for DFS, but at least looking at, you know, the raw usage numbers, our favorite stat, expected fantasy points. I mean, Joe Mixon is just killing it.
I thought it was Chase Brown season. Is that not true?
No, I mean, by, you know, looking at expected fantasy points, he's about doubled his expectation. He's, you know, run incredibly well overall. I think that, you know, could mean more playing time for Chase Brown, but right now Mixon is still the bell cow.
Chris, what do you think on Browning? Because it's just, when the 50 yard, when a screen pass, every single one you throw goes for 50 yards, it makes all the stats look good. The ADOT's pretty low for him. What do you think of him and this Bengals offense overall?
he's just kind of doing what he's being asked to do, really. I mean, they're not asking him to push the ball down the field. And when you've got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, Tanner Hudson has even looked good at times. And then really Chase Brown out of the backfield, all these guys like have some juice to him. And he's just being asked to get the ball in their hands and let them do their thing. I know Jake talked about Mixon, and Mixon definitely doesn't have juice like those guys, but he, you know, he's a volume guy. He's still getting the volume. I do think that we are going to see a little bit more Chase Brown here and there. Like, I would never bet him to get inside the 10 carries or anything like that, but him getting some more touches, some more screens was what they really worked in last week with him. That's all Browning's really being asked to do, and he's being good at it. I mean, we've seen that be a success story for many QBs over time.
Sounds like, is this Brock Purdy all over again? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking about. I didn't want to say
a lot of Brock Purdy slander going out there on the internet. So I'll have to see on that one. So real quick, my takeaways, I've got a player, I've got a team, and I've got a season takeaway here. So my first is a player take, and it looks like Jake is maybe sort of on the same board as me as this one. Joe Flacco, is he elite, Jake? Because it's looking like he's coming back, and he's not dinking and dunking. He's slinging the rock down the field. He's the best quarterback by far the Browns have had on the field this year. He's getting his Njoku Cooper at 14 targets last week. Dude's throwing it all over the field right now. You can't run on Chicago. How's this set up for Joe Flacco as a player overall? Because this is a resurgence. And how does it go basically for the rest of the league that leaves him on the sideline? And we are just running out. This is sort of a take a little bit later, but just players that really shouldn't be even second or third string quarterbacks in the NFL. And Flacco over here is just sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, no, it's been incredible what Joe Flacco has done. I mean, I think we're gonna talk about his underdog prop a little bit later, which is just way too low. But yeah, he looks like another great play this week facing a Bears pass funnel. Yeah, I'll let Chris speak. He's the charting guru as to how good or bad Joe Flacco has actually been. But it's been great seeing an aggressive quarterback under center for the Browns finally.
Yeah, he was on the Jets last year, guys, and the Jets. The Jets rolled into the season with Zach Wilson as their backup QB. And that is just crazy. Flacco should with all the QB injuries this year, Flacco was on the streets way too long. I know he's not elite. He's not anything special, but he is better than probably a third of the QBs we've seen play this season, which, so he should have been on a team a while back.
Yeah. And that's sort of, I'll go to my season take, man, the injuries this year, it has just killed my desire for, not really for daily fantasy as ever, but season long, I do a lot of best ball dynasty and things like that. But it is just, I guess I want to see, have there been more injuries this year? Or is it just that the injuries, every quarterback's gotten hurt this year for multiple weeks, if not entire seasons. And it lowers the ceilings. We want touchdowns. We want plays. So just a little bit disappointing overall, and it's not stopping. If anything, it's only getting worse as the season comes to a close here with more superstar players getting injured every week. A little sad. It is football. These things happen. It's like a contact sport with a lot of very athletic, high-powered, high-weight guys, and injuries are always going to happen. But it just seems a little sad this year from a fantasy's perspective. And then my team takeaway, the Chiefs are in trouble. It's Patrick Mahomes and a defense that was pretty good. And I don't know if maybe they were playing a little bit over their head, but they basically have to rely on Patrick Mahomes to be Mahomesian every single play. He has to be pulling something out in order for this offense to really move the ball right now. Pacheco's probably going to be out another week or two. You got Rashee Rice, right? Great ascension of a player we want to play. But man, Travis Kelce, he's planning a special, spectacular dinner for Taylor Swift on her birthday. That's tomorrow. That's Wednesday night. You think he cares anything about football right now? Absolutely not. This man, he's in love. Will he even be back next year? But he's also getting a little bit older. He's not the Travis Kelce of 2 or 3 years ago, too, at least from an on-field performance. But I don't know. I think the Chiefs are in trouble. There's ways that the Broncos could steal that division. Both teams have very soft schedules, and the Chiefs do have a game up on them. But I think the Chiefs are I'm really worried about them long term. They're going to need a very high powered offseason, I think, specifically getting him an elite wide receiver. I think it's really tough to do that under the salary cap. But just a couple takeaways for me. Joe Flacco looks pretty good. The season overall, injuries are just killing us from a fantasy perspective. And the Chiefs as a team, I'm not betting them either side of that New England game. But I don't know. I'm not a big believer in the Chiefs currently right now. Chris, let's go to you. What's a takeaway you might have either week 15 or in the season as a whole?
So similar to kind of your Chiefs takes, I'm really worried about the Lions and their kind of playoff hopes and everything. They're a team that I really like coming into the season, still really like, and would love to see. A lot of guys on that team, easy to root for, with Dan Campbell in particular. But man, they have faced numerous mobile QBs since Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator, have been there, and they just seem to refuse to get it figured out. Justin Fields kills them every time he plays them. Their home road splits are bad again for another year in a row. I don't know. That could be mostly Jared Goff not being as good on the road more than anything. But yeah, it's just in a conference where they're likely going to have to go on the road now and play and run into at least Philly at some point with Hurts, who's a mobile QB. Purdy can move and well enough. Dak has been using his legs more. It just seems like they have a team that's probably going to go into the playoffs as the 3 seed in the NFC and just doesn't really feel like they actually have a shot to get to the Super Bowl this year.
I don't even think the Eagles have a shot. The NFC is it's the Cowboys and it's the 49ers, I think, without question, are the only two good teams. And I don't even think the AFC has a good team. I think there's basically two good teams. The 49ers are the clear cream of the crop for me. Dallas probably second. And then, again, the AFC. Someone's got to show me something. I don't think there's an actual good team over there in the AFC. So a quick couple of takeaways from the three of us. Next segment we like to get to is our stand segment, where we sort of tease you for something later in the show. It's an hour long show. We got to get you guys to stick around for it. So I'm going to start with my stand, and I'm coming at it from a sports book perspective. And there is a road favorite this week that I would put the line a full 3 points higher than it currently is right now. 3 points in the NFL on a line is a lot. I just can't believe the books. It's like a free money promotion in my eyes that they're offering us. So I've put quite a few American dollars on this game already. We'll get to that in the sports betting segment. But that's my stand for the week. Chris, let's go to you. What kind of stand are you working on?
Yeah, I think there is a former top 3 fantasy running back that has not been so this year that I think has a shot to be back in that top 3 range to close out the season. I know Jake's going to talk about it in particular. Well, I'll let him explain on more when we get to that.
Yes, he is a prop that looks very, very nice for all three of us this week. All right, Jake, your stand, and then we'll talk some DFS.
Yeah, so I want as much action as I can get this week on the winning quarterback from Super Bowl 56. Just looking at his DFS prices, his early week props on some of these pick'em sites. I mean, man, this is a really juicy spot, so I'm excited to talk about him in a bit.
So I had to Google Super Bowl 56. So that was, was that the one from last year?
That was the 2021 season. So that would have been
2021. Rain. Oh, yeah. So it was in 2022. All right. So I didn't know if you were talking past, present, future. I don't know what Super Bowl it is, but we'll get a good stand segment out of that one. But before we're going to get to DFS, but before I do that, I got to tell you guys about Sim Labs. It is behind the paywall here at RotoGrinders, but don't worry. It is available to all combo and NFL premium subscribers. You also have access to NFL Sim Labs too. You can use Sim Labs to generate DFS lineups through the power of simulation. It combines data from every aspect of the slate to churn out lineups that match your preferences. In just a few clicks, you can have hundreds of well-built correlated lineups ready to go for whatever contest type you're playing. Be sure to check out the link in the description for more info. A fun tool. The Sims are taking over DFS in these large field tournaments. You can use them in smaller field tournaments too, but very easy to use. Make sure to go check that out with Sim Labs. All right, let's get to DFS. My man Jake over here, he's writing early week DFS at Fantasy Points every single week. I like to go to him first. Jake, what's it look like for week 10? Well, my first note, I looked at the schedule, 16 games, no buys, but they play 3 games on Saturday. There's a Thursday, there's Monday night. There's only 10 games on the main slate. I was hoping we'd get like 14, but it's just 10. Still a lot of fun choices to make.
Yeah, it's pretty light on the main slate, especially if you like to split your action between 1 p.m. only and 4 p.m. only. I mean, just looking at these totals, the 1 p.m. slate is pretty brutal, but you know, still a lot of potential here. As always, looking at quarterback, I felt like the chalk was, you know, pretty, it really jumped out to me this week. Matthew Stafford at just 6,000 against a Washington pass defense that has been a total disaster as of late. Stafford's averaged 24 DraftKings points per game over his last three games, and he's thrown 10 touchdowns over that stretch. He looks really good, and, you know, his receivers are finally healthy. I imagine he's going to be mega chalk at the quarterback position, along with Justin Fields, $700 cheaper than his week one price tag, and he's averaged 28.7 DraftKings fantasy points per game over his last four games against teams that aren't the Minnesota Vikings. And he plays a very man-heavy Cleveland Browns defense. And remember, guys, man coverage, defenders have their backs turned to the quarterback, so that could open up some big rushing lanes for Justin Fields. Brock Purdy also falls into that same category. Great matchup against Arizona, has been playing really well as of late. So I think those three guys are really going to be where the plurality of quarterback ownership lands this week. Moving on to running back, Chuba Hubbard really jumped out to me as just a strong dumpster diving option. 15 expected fantasy points per game in his five games with offensive coordinator Thomas Brown calling plays. That would be RB12 over the full season. And he scored over 20 DraftKings points in two of his last four. So if you need to save salary, I do think Chuba Hubbard is going to be an intriguing option. And despite the fact that he's, you know, pretty much only involved in the run game, he gets a few targets. It was very encouraging that, you know, Carolina lost by 22 last week, but he still had 23 carries. So it looks like they are just very dedicated to pounding the rock. And, you know, Chuba Hubbard's been the main beneficiary. If you want to pay up a little more, though, James Cook remains interesting. His inside the 10 role has actually more than doubled since they got rid of offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey. So he offers pretty strong touchdown equity in what is, you know, clearly the best offensive environment of the slate in this Buffalo game against Dallas. And then wide receiver, feel like I only really need one take here. Rashee Rice, I mean, it's only Tuesday, but he's looking to me like the best wide receiver play of the slate. Career high 82% route share on Sunday. He's been a top 12 wide receiver by both production and usage over the last 3 weeks, which happened to be his only three games with a route share over 60%. Remember, on a per route basis, he's earning targets at a higher rate than Travis Kelce, CeeDee Lamb, and Mike Evans. Playing time was really his only obstacle. From this point forward, I'd consider Rashee Rice a low-end wide receiver one.
Yeah, I was trying to find him here on Lineup HQ. Or it looks like somehow might not. Oh, something's missing with the Kansas City game, so those players aren't in there. I was going to ask you, too, from the DFS. We've got Amari Cooper, 6K, and Amari Cooper and 14 targets last week from Joe Flacco, 6,100. You would still take Rice all day on that one, even against the Patriots. They're going to shut down Travis Kelce, but they've been really good at stopping the wide receiver one from teams this year. How do you think that game's going to play out? Rice or Cooper or something? You know, it's Tuesday. There's some weather. I'll talk about weather in just a second. But yeah, what's your take on that?
Yeah, so what's interesting is, yeah, the Patriots have been tough against opposing wide receiver ones, but I think that's primarily because they, you know, they just devote so much attention to a team's top option, which in Kansas City's case would be Travis Kelce. On a schedule adjusted basis, at least over the last 5 or 6 weeks, New England has actually been very weak against wide receivers, so I would consider this a plus matchup for Rashee Rice. Amari Cooper's matchup isn't quite as strong, at least, you know, on paper, schedule adjusted. But Chicago is a major pass funnel. And, you know, like we've noted, Joe Flacco is really slinging the rock. I still prefer Rashee Rice overall. That said, you know, it is only Tuesday. Ownership could dictate things, but I'd imagine both guys will be quite popular.
All right. I want to know, too, late in the season, and I guess from a sports betting perspective, sort of bit me on a couple of games last week, is the weather. So I'm really just betting games early that are either in dome or I'm just so confident in it that I don't care about the weather. But real quick, it's Tuesday, so I'm looking ahead. We don't really know. And even some of the weather we thought people were talking about Thursday, Friday, didn't really come to all that fruition. But I want to know, the Baltimore at Jacksonville, that looks like it could have a lot of wind and rain. The Dallas-Buffalo game looks like it could have a lot of wind. The Jets-Miami game, I went to go look at the total on that one. It was at 39. I was like, huh? And I know it's like the Jets, but it's because it's going to rain, and with 20-mile-per-hour winds is currently in the forecast here. So just pay attention to the weather, whether you're sports betting, props, totals, sides, anything like that earlier in the week, especially late in the season. If it's not in a dome, hold off to get a little bit clearer path. Cost me a few dollars. Had a great month, November through December. But yeah, check the weather. So I wanted to note that. And I want to note, too, like running back, why – Chris, I'll ask you, why does it take till week 15 for us to have like 10 workhorse running backs to choose from, right? Why do all these teams start off the season with we have two man committees and we have a receiving back and a run, you know, a guy who's just going to run, and we're going to rotate three guys and play the hot hand? Because now we just have teams giving, it's because everyone's been injured. We just give one player the ball all the time. We've got Christian McCaffrey. We've got Saquon Barkley. We've got Rashad White. You've got Breece Hall now getting the ball. You've got Kyron Williams. You've got, like, all these guys are just, they're getting the ball every single play for their team. They're not coming off the field. I thought that was going to be Alvin Kamara a little bit last week. They ended up splitting with Jamal Williams. It kind of hurt. Didn't really have the performance we all thought he was going to have here. What running backs are you looking at? Because basically the entire tier to me, you obviously have Christian McCaffrey, who's, you know, what? He's going to get into the end zone, have his 100 total yards. Does he get two touchdowns? Does he get three? Does he get four? Who really knows? There's no limit to what Christian McCaffrey can do. But do you need 9,300 when you have a Kyron Williams playing every play? You have Rashad White playing all the time. They're finally able to run the ball in Tampa, and this is against Green Bay. You've got a couple other options. You know, you can go down to the 6K, the 5K tier. We mentioned Chuba Hubbard, right? He's getting 25 carries a game. You don't have to go up to the top. How are you handling this?
Yeah, I felt like last week there was four or five running backs that, like, you could really play and feel good about in terms of the way the pricing broke down and everything. And this week there really is, there's guys in pretty much every range that you could make cases for as good plays right now. I feel like, you know, it feels like looking through wide receiver doesn't look as strong. Wouldn't be shocked if it's a week where you kind of want to play running back in the flex. And then, like you said, you got McCaffrey. Again, if Taysom Hill's out again, I would go back to Kamara. I know Jamal Williams was more involved, but when they got down to inside the 10 in the red zone, Kamara was the guy mostly on the field. Kyron Williams is, like, he's basically the biggest bell cow in the league right now. Saquon, the Miami guys are priced up kind of expensive. They're kind of tough to justify at that price. But we know that they have a huge ceiling. Probably my favorite guy is actually Ezekiel Elliott, though, at only 5.8K. I mean, he handled 88% of the carries last week, 29% target share. Nobody in the league was close to those numbers last week. I don't care that they're playing the Patriots. When you're getting that type of volume, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Chiefs. I was going to pull it up on Lineup HQ, but it looks like we have some sort of difficulty here. The workload for Zeke, we'll talk about him a little. There's some early week numbers on the fantasy pick'em sites. You're going to want to get in on these when we get to that segment in just a few minutes. These numbers will not last as the week goes through. I want to ask, does either one of you have a take on the Rams wide receiver? We saw Cooper Kupp come back and, you know, his route tree, his participation, his targets, his production. Old Cooper Kupp looked back last week. It's against Washington. Do you want him? Do you want Puka, who is a little bit cheaper? I think when they're close to the same price, and Kupp, you know, I don't know. I think Cooper Kupp's probably the better play over Puka at close to the price tag. Are we all on the same train with that?
You know, it's tough for me. I think I would lean Kupp overall, but, you know, Puka, Washington, especially on the outside, has just been a total disaster. So Puka has a slightly better matchup here. And, you know, I mean, you can probably discount this a bit due to, you know, Kupp's nagging injury, but you know, Puka's seen better volume overall over the course of the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. So I think they're both really strong plays. I think Stafford double stacks are going to be quite popular. And yeah, I really like both guys.
Yeah. And I think even with Tyreek Hill with the ankle injury, it's the Jets. I think we'd all go to the CeeDee Lamb over Tyreek Hill as the top play of the week.
Yeah, and I'd imagine with McCaffrey playing Arizona, you probably won't see crazy ownership on Lamb. Although, you know, people are really going to want to game stack Dallas and Buffalo. So to me, I'd clearly take, you know, McCaffrey over Lamb in the flex. But yeah, the game environments could shift things there for ownership.
All right, a couple wide receivers I was looking at. You've got Jaden Reed at what, 4,900. You've got Christian Watson and Wicks banged up. And you get a receiver with a couple of carries in there too. He's scoring touchdowns all the time at 4,900. I think he's going to be reasonably popular. And then the 3K-ish tier, you always, you know, especially if we're going to try to get a Lamb or a McCaffrey in our lineups, you do need, you know, to go dumpster diving in the 3K tier, but it's not really that bad this week. If the Houston injuries play out and Stroud starts, I mean, you've got Hutchinson or John Mechie. They're both 3K. You've got Wandale Robinson. He had a big night on Monday night. I think he's 3,700. If Tutu Atwell is out. You've got DeMarcus Robinson. What did he have? I think he had 10 targets, and he's 3,600. For the Rams. I mean, that's pretty interesting to swerve off either Kupp or Puka, who will probably draw some ownership here. Just three receptions, but if he's going to get 10 targets again at 3,600, you're going to want to keep your eye on him. I think there's a couple viable sub 4K wide receivers. You've got Reed at 4,900. He's someone I'm going to be targeting if both Watson and Wicks can't make it in. Just a pretty deep wide receiver pool, even on a 10-game slate. Chris, is there anything specifically you wanted to talk about DFS-wise?
The only other wide receivers that I don't think you mentioned that I like is Garrett Wilson had a 39% target share with Zach Wilson back last week. He gets Miami. Obviously, you mentioned the weather. Got to check, make sure that is all okay. But DeAndre Hopkins just did 7 for 124 and 1 versus Miami last night. So Garrett Wilson could have another good game there. And only, I think he's like 50. He's in the 5 point.
Yeah, 58.
Yeah, 58. That's pretty cheap for him. Samari Torre, if Wicks misses and Christian Watson's out for Jordan Love, is not bad for the stone minimum price.
Yep, another 3K.
So that's pretty much it though.
Yeah. Jake at tight end. What are we doing? Early week at tight end, you've got Joe Flacco. He loves his who's the tight end he had all those years in Baltimore?
Oh man.
As soon as you say it, I'll know. But he loves the tight end is basically what I'm getting at. And it's showing with David Njoku, this dude's turned into a beast as soon as he's jumped in there. There is a lot to like at tight end. Not Travis Kelce, by the way, up towards the top. Probably not going to play Trey McBride against San Francisco. But there's just a lot to like, starting with Njoku at just 4,700. And then if you go even cheaper, like there's a couple viable cheap wide receivers. You've got – or cheap tight ends. Hunter Henry had 2 touchdowns last week. If the injury situation at wide receiver for New England plays out and Demario Douglas might not suit up, you've got Hunter Henry. You're probably going to have to pass the ball against Kansas City. I think he's relatively cheap. You've got with Zach Wilson back, Tyler Conklin came back to life. He's reasonably cheap. You've got Kraft for Green Bay, who's on the field all the time. He had himself a reasonable night. He's cheap. And you've got the Titans, Chigakonku, who's, 2,900? And if Josh Wiley, not a big name most people know about, but if he's out, Chig's basically the only tight end going to be playing every snap, and he's 2,900, had himself a reasonable game last night. Njoku's probably like the target. You never really want to spend all the way up on DraftKings, specifically if you're trying to get to McCaffrey or CeeDee Lamb. So that Njoku and down tier looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's a very deep tight end slate, which is always nice because oftentimes you can get stronger volume, playing a tight end in a flex relative to a wide receiver. That said, I think, looking at these dumpster diving options, my favorite, at least right now, is Chigakonku. Just looking at his usage with Will Levis under center, he's actually the best value by expected fantasy points per dollar of DraftKings salary on this slate overall. So Jig, looking like a very strong value, especially if, as you noted, Josh Wiley ends up being out again in week 15.
Yeah. So there's a couple early DFS thoughts. Again, pay attention to the weather as the week progresses, mainly Saturday night. We have Kevin Roth here, I think on Wednesday morning, he'll put out the weather, but the AI hasn't figured out the weather yet. They can't tell us exactly what it's going to do that far in advance. So you're going to have to pay attention as the week progresses on weather, sports betting, DFS, all of that fun stuff. Let's talk now about some of the tools at Fantasy Points, because we've got the tool man. He's sitting right below me. We've got Chris here. He wants to talk a little QB coverage matchup chart. He is the data scientist behind all of these fun things you see at Fantasy Points here. Chris, what do you want to talk about? I've got it pulled up. What kind of matchups are standing out this week?
Yeah, so this is a newer tool we've rolled out. I believe it's still free that you can get access to it. So what we're basically doing here is we take a look at all the coverage schemes that opposing or QBs are going to see from their opposing matchup for that week and basically come up with an expected fantasy points per drop crack based off how they perform versus those coverages. So there's some interesting guys that are popping this week. First thing is, the like Jake mentioned earlier, the Buffalo-Dallas game will likely be popular. Dak is slightly cheaper than Josh Allen and probably more fun to stack with like CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, and whatnot. I think people are going to prefer the Dak side. But Josh Allen is actually the guy that's showing as a better matchup versus this. And that's largely because both Dak and Josh Allen have thrived versus man coverage this year. That's kind of been where the reason their scores are as high as they are. But the Bills don't play man all that much, only about 20% of the time, whereas the Cowboys play man the most in the league at 40% of the time. So Josh Allen's going to get looks that he's comfortable with, and I think that could be a reason to go with Josh Allen over Dak Prescott. The other one that is kind of sneaky, and it's a real not fun to click, but I think could help you get some of these more expensive pieces, is Will Levis versus the Texans. We've seen the Texans get into some shootouts this year. It would be nice if Stroud is in to really push the pace, but even if he's not, Levis is showing as the biggest coverage grade boost of all QBs this week at 32%. That's because he has absolutely crushed cover four this year, over one fantasy point per drop rack, which is huge. And nobody plays more cover four than the Houston Texans. So Levis is kind of a sneaky, gross play that, could pay off. You stack him with Hopkins or Chig, even like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you were talking, Jake, about Justin Fields. I mean, his matchup even looks reasonably well from a coverage perspective, let alone his upside that he has in rushing. Basically, he's running a lot more. It's basically the repeat of last year. Halfway through the season, they said, oh, Justin Fields, he's good at running the ball. Let's let him run the ball a little bit more. So you have that plus a reasonably good passing matchup, even against the stout Cleveland defense. So maybe a little bit of sneaky upside there. And DJ Moore just finds, six different ways to get in the end zone every week? I mean, that dude has been – what a steal. The Bears got trading that number one pick. Just I've written about it on Scores and Odds a bunch, and I think I've even talked about it on the show a little bit. But man, just that's like that could possibly be like an all time worst trade of all time in a draft to trade up to get Bryce Young based on how his career started. He's got a little ways, another year or two probably with a full leash to figure it out. But right now the Bears completely wipe the floor on that deal. Let's get to Jake. Jake wants to talk the advanced receiving. I've gone in the weeds, Jake. I tried to follow what you were writing down in pre-show here, and this is one of the reasons we like a certain player prop on the week. It's already out on the sports books. It's on the fantasy pick'em site, so you can go get the prop we're about to talk about right now using this tool, but nowhere else, especially not for a very low price or even free on some of the tools that you offer, can you go and find a target share of a player once a certain quarterback goes down in the middle of the game. So what we filtered for is, what did the Chargers offense look like once Easton Stick came into the game? So this is basically as soon as Justin Herbert got injured, these are all of Easton Stick's pass attempts. If you're following along on the show and you have access to the tool, all you do, I filtered to week 14. You go over to the more filters, you go to the play tool, and that injury happened with 32 minutes remaining in the game. I've set the max 32 minutes remaining in the game. Boom, we have the stats. Jake, let's break it down. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so Austin Eckler had 5 total targets for a 21% target share with Easton Stick at quarterback. I know Chris can speak to this just from charting games. Backup quarterbacks tend to be pretty aggressive checking the ball down, in part because I'd imagine they're pretty nervous throwing the ball downfield, but also because offenses tend to draw up shorter throws for backup quarterbacks as they don't trust them the same as the starter. Eckler's 21% target share was his highest target share of the season. And again, that 21% came in the 32 minutes he played with Easton Stick. So, yeah, we're going to love that for a prop that we talk about later in the show, because Eckler's receiving prop is just way too low with a backup quarterback under center.
Yeah, and Keenan Allen still hasn't practiced. It's a Thursday game. I'm assuming he'll probably suit up in some way on Wednesday, but he's been banged up for a couple of weeks now. And, if he's not doing it, Austin Eckler is certainly going to be doing it. And he actually looked good for the first time in a while. Maybe he was hiding an injury for a while, and now he's starting to get healthy. So all of that is playing really well into Austin Eckler on this one. So there's just so many things you can do with all the tools over at Fantasy Points. This is basically the only way to do this that I know of in the entire fantasy football industry, unless you want to spend tens of thousands of dollars somewhere else. I probably don't want to do that. So a great tool, very easy to use, and a great way to look at when a quarterback goes out, what does the backup, what do those targets, what do all of those routes look like? Absolutely amazing work here. Chris, you probably had something to do with this, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Good job, Chris. great all right. So those are a couple of tools at Fantasy Points. There's a lot more. Some of them are still free. Go check those out. The rest are behind the paywall. It's relatively cheap. The only other thing I use other than the stuff of RotoGrinders in my research. All right. I want to talk to you guys about the props and pick 'em package at RotoGrinders. You can check it out. It's brand new. The experts at the RotoGrinders projections team take our premium stats and comb through the market for any inefficiencies using our model. You can easily see which lines are off, where to find them, and how likely the prop will hit based on our tool. You can check out the link in the description for more info. If you don't, you know, it's basically good if you can only play on the fantasy pick'em sites or you just want to bet props and not spreads. A great little addition to our RotoGrinder subscriptions. You can get access to that over there. All right, let's talk about sports betting. There's a couple. It looks like me and Chris are going toe-to-toe here. So let's get this battle out of the way. This is not my stand take. I'll talk my stand on this one. But Chris, let's try to dice this out here. I like hearing opposite reasons from people when I'm on the other side, right? Because I'm definitely on the Denver Broncos this week. And I see in the sheet here, it looks like you like the Lions. So I'm going to tell you why I like the Broncos, and then you can tell me why we like the Lions. And then Jake, you can pick a side and decide the winner from the Battle Royale. So I am all over. I'll bring it up on scores and odds here too. All over the Broncos, because I think you talked about how you were worried about the Lions a little bit. I know they're at home, and I know that's a big thesis for you this week. But man, the Lions, basically, how bad were those those Broncos teams those first 5 or 6 weeks? That's how bad this Lions defense is now. Like, they can't stop anybody. They've given up 29.8 points per game over the past 5 games to the Packers. Yeah, they just lost to the Giants. The Bears twice. Yeah, not great. And the Saints and the Chargers, give or take on them, but not offensive juggernauts. They can't stop anybody right now. And the Broncos, they have completely flipped their team around. Sean Payton, I think he was getting joked about for not being that great. I think he's clearly turned it around and has established himself as again, one of the better coaches, I think, in the NFL. They're right in the thick of it for the playoffs. They're right in the thick of it. If the Chiefs are struggling, they could take this division pretty easily. If the Chiefs slip up and lose one game, I think the Broncos have a chance to possibly take that division as well. I would put this at +3 for the Broncos, and you can find it. It's been going up all week. I don't know, Chris, I don't know if you're jamming in millions of dollars on the Lions, but someone's moving this line. It's up to +5.5. This is probably, I think, as high as it's going to get this week. I would put it at +3 if I was setting the lines. I see no reason for it to be any more than that. The Lions haven't been showing me anything in recent games. They can score points, but I think the Broncos defense is not the Broncos defense from the first couple of weeks. They're managing Russell Wilson. He's become very efficient. He just throws touchdowns to Cortland Sutton every week. Seems to be working. Why mess that up? So Broncos +5.5 for me. Another one of the games, I'm okay betting this now based on my take because it's in a dome. There's no weather. So I'm fine with this one. What I want from you, Chris, is why are you on the Lions? I know you have some splits, home road, all that going for Mr. Small Hands Golf.
Yeah, so I actually didn't see the +5.5. I saw Lions -4.5. So 5.5 is definitely
there's a 4.5. You can, if it lands on 5, you can middle it out there. Yeah, but I like the +5.5 just seems like a lot for the Broncos.
That does sound a little bit more aggressive. The 4.5, much more on the Lions side there. Yeah, the home road splits are obvious. We've seen the Lions play much better at home basically as long as Goff has been there. The main thing I really like is the first thing is a little bit of a narrative-y thing, but the Lions do tend to bounce back off of losses very well. When they lost to the Packers, they came out versus the Saints and basically jumped all over the Saints. I know the Saints started to put up points in that game, but the Lions offense was clicking on all cylinders there. The biggest thing I really like about the Lions this week is the Broncos are one of the worst run defenses in the league, and the Lions, if they can, love to run the ball. I think that both Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery could have good games here. And I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to stop them on the ground. And when they get behind, I'm not full. I know the Broncos offense has been way better recently, but I'm not fully bought in that Russell Wilson will be able to dig them out of a hole if they get behind in this game.
All right. I can certainly see the reasoning on that one too. So maybe I'm not as thrilled, but I'm still, I've the money's already in on the Broncos, so I can't take it back. That's one of my picks here. The stand I was talking about is without question the Atlanta Falcons -3. Like, what on earth are they doing as just 3-point favorites against the Panthers? Stink. They have no offense. They have no defense. Chuba Hubbard's great. Miles Sanders ran for 70 yards last. All they're doing is running the ball, trying to get the season over with as fast as possible. Do the same thing next year so they can actually have draft picks in 2025. But, man, the Falcons, I think they finally figured out. They figured out in the past game. Hey, this Drake London dude, pretty good. Let's get him the football. Maybe Kyle Pitts is okay. They're still not giving Bijan the ball enough, in my opinion. But against the Panthers, Bijan the other running back slipping his name, Algier. These guys can be able to do whatever they want on the ground and then through the air if they have to. They finally figured out to get the ball to Drake London. I just think the Falcons should roll them in this game. The Panthers offense, they haven't scored 18 points in 16 straight games, more than 18 points. I don't know. If the Falcons get to 20 to 17, that's a push, but I think the Falcons can easily get well into the 20s in this one against the Panthers. And I don't know if the Panthers have the juice. The Falcons defense is reasonably good. I know they gave it up to Baker Mayfield late, but they had a couple of turnovers from Desmond Ridder in there. If Ridder doesn't give the game away, this should be a cakewalk for the Falcons. I don't see why this is -3. I would put this close to -6 if I was in charge of making the lines at sportsbooks this week. So the Falcons is definitely my play of the week. Jake, let's get to you on a couple of bets. Let's get you rolling in here.
Yeah, so got a prop for Thursday night. Austin Eckler over 26.5 receiving yards. As we noted earlier, season high 21% target share in his 32 minutes in week 14 with Easton Stick at quarterback. And he's gone over this mark in 60% of his games, despite, you know, clearly being hampered with that high ankle sprain that I believe he suffered in week one. And then I also got the over in the Chicago Cleveland game. Always scary, you know, taking an over with two bad offenses, but the total here is only 37.5. Can get the over at -105 over on FanDuel. This game was popping a bit in Graham Barfield's pace of play model, which I really like to use when I'm reviewing totals for the week. And both quarterbacks have shown some serious upside throughout the year. I mean, we know Joe Flacco has been hyper aggressive throwing the ball downfield, and I think that lends itself to an over. I did check the weather for this game, and it does look clear. A little cold, of course, but does look clear so far. So hopefully it stays that way after I laid the over.
Yep. The totals are getting low, right? So, like, 30, we're seeing 37s. The scoring gods wouldn't let us get the under on the 30 from the Pittsburgh New England game. But I'm looking at this. I haven't bet it. Anyone have a take on the over 34 for a game with no weather concerns? I know there's backup quarterbacks, but that just, I don't know. I'm looking at it. I haven't made a decision yet. Anyone have a take
for Thursday? It felt low when I first looked at it too. AOC has been decent. And, you know, Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs are there. I know Jacobs is banged up, but between Adams and Jacoby Myers, like, they could do enough.
I'm sold. I'm gonna put that in right after the show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Chris, what are you looking at other than me and you are at odds on the Denver Lions game? What else you got?
My favorite one is the Bengals -3.5 versus the Vikings. We just watched the Vikings bench Josh Dobbs in the middle of the game because it looks like the Josh Dobbs magic is wearing out a bit. They'll probably go back to Dobbs. We'll see if Justin Jefferson plays. But the Bengals defense has been solid in recent weeks, especially. We already talked about Jake Browning doing what's being asked of him pretty much and letting the playmakers do their things. The Bengals' screen-heavy offense right now is a terrible matchup for the Vikings' defense that loves to blitz. You basically, if they're throwing quick screens at you, you pretty much can't blitz, and that's what defensive coordinator Brian Flores wants to do versus QBs. Their other option is they like to drop, basically only rush three and drop a bunch of guys. So if they do that, the screens game still works well against that because they're going to have blockers out in front, and then they have to make sure they're tackling well to wrap them up. So I think it's a really good matchup for the Bengals offense versus the Vikings defense. And we just watched Josh Dobbs get benched.
Yeah, the key to Josh Dobbs, right? He has to go to a new team, right? He has to not know anything about that. The players, he doesn't need to know the center's name. Just get on the field and wing. The more he knows of the playbook, the worse it is. it's funny, but it's, I don't know. It's pretty much been true this year for him. He was great to start the year for Arizona. It was great for, what was that, Tennessee last year when he had to come in for the one game. He did well enough, was on fire for the Vikings for two games. And now that he knows everybody, it's just not working out for him. I really like the take on the Cincinnati one. I might follow you into that one. You got another one here. I haven't written this up on Scores and Odds. I may or may not. I personally already bet it. A game in a dome. The Colts, it looks like you're on. I certainly like this one as well.
Yeah, Colts get the Steelers this week. The big thing here for me is TJ Watt probably not playing, especially with the whole he came back in the game last week with the, and he might have had a concussion. I doubt he plays this week. That defense is just massively different without TJ Watt on the field. I think the Colts offense has been solid this year. Their defense is not very good, but they're going to get either Trubisky or Kenny Pickett, so nothing to be too afraid of. I think the Colts can win by more than a field goal here.
All right, mine. I'll close it out. I got three bets. So we're on Atlanta minus three is definitely my play of the week. I'm on Denver plus 5.5. And I'm going to close it out with a two-team money line parlay. We're going with the Browns. I like this Joe Flacco offense. We've been talking about them all game. And I know the Bears, they maybe can be good. But, I mean, this was against the Lions. And the Lions defense hasn't been doing anything. And newsflash, I know it wasn't great last week. But the Browns defense is actually pretty good. And I think them to win this game at home looks pretty nice with how Joe Flacco has been moving this offense. The passing game has been revitalized. And against the Bears, I think that's going to work out pretty well. And I'm going to pair them with the Rams. We're going to talk about probably the most insane line number I've seen on a fantasy pick'em site. I'll check and see if it's still available. I've emptied my accounts into it so far. But the Rams against the Commanders, I mean, if there was ever a team strength against the team's weakness, it's Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua against the pass defense that the Commanders have. I know the Commanders are off a bye, but I don't really know if that's going to do too much here. I like the Rams to win this game pretty easily. You pair that with Cleveland, you can get a plus 111, so a plus money parlay. I think that was on Caesars. It should be slightly plus money. Basically, everywhere you go, get that. Rams, Browns, money line parlay for me. All right, so let's just get to what we're all on Fantasy Pick'em. I was talking to Jake. I saw this earlier in the day. I couldn't believe the number that Underdog is posting, and I'm going to look it up live to make sure they do it before we talk about it, because I don't want to give out something that isn't still available here. So let's see. Let me go on to – all right, it's still there, Jake. So let's just – the Matthew Stafford-Cooper Kupp combination on Underdog right now is perhaps the most ridiculous fantasy pick'em number I've seen all season. That, you know, these sites put it out before the sports books put it out. And I almost think the Matthew Stafford number is 236.5 against Washington. This is the absolutely most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I almost think they meant to put 263.5 instead of 236.5. So this is without a doubt the absolute must play fantasy pick'em. I've paired it with Cooper Kupp, more than 65.5 receiving yards. He looks back. If he's back and fully healthy against almost any team, I would play the more than in that. But against Washington, I mean, this is a very easy click. You get the correlation without being penalized like you would against an actual sports book. And I'm going to stick with my, basically, this is the Browns show, week 15, Amari Cooper over 49.5 receiving yards. Just if he's going to get 14 targets from Joe Flacco, probably won't get that many. But even if he gets 8 to 10 targets with how Joe Flacco is throwing it against Chicago, who you it's not, you know, how do I want to put this? They're not easy to pass on, but you definitely can't run on Chicago currently right now. So just seems like a really low number for Amari Cooper to clear. There's a couple others I like too. You can throw in Zeke at 52.5. I know Chris mentioned Zeke, like I know it's against the Chiefs, but 52.5 for a guy who's going to get basically 20, maybe not 20, but like 17 carries under almost any scenario in this game. That's a very low bar to clear. I like Deontay Johnson at 47.5 on Underdog. Trubisky likes him, and that's just a really low number for a guy who's clearly the number one target in a dome. There's no weather. Those are all things you want working in your favor. Deontay Johnson, 47.5. Just mix and match. The main thing, though, this Matthew Stafford number, right? Like, Jake, this is a ridiculous number that they're offering.
Yeah, this is absurd. I'm with you, Britt. I think this is the most mispriced line that they've posted all year. When it went up last night, I pretty much unloaded my entire underdog account on it, and I expected it to be 15 yards higher when I woke up this morning, and no, only bumped up by 3 yards.
What would you put? I would put this, I wrote on Scores and Odds up to 250, but I would legitimately, I think, thinking about it, I would play this to like two, it's going to like 265.
That's what I was going to say. I think it closes at 265. So tremendous value there. And Cooper Kupp has looked healthy, as we've noted before. So it really is an easy pairing. Just absolutely love that prop. Joe Flacco at 213.5, I think, is another great one. He's gone over 250 passing yards in both of his starts. And now he gets a Chicago defense that is, you know, a tougher on paper matchup, but they're also a top four pass funnel. So another 45 dropbacks for Joe Flacco looks extremely likely. And he's been so aggressive throwing the ball downfield that 213 yards just feels way too low. Not quite as juicy as the Stafford prop, but still very strong. And then, of course, you know, as we noted earlier, Austin Eckler over 26.5 receiving yards. Again, that's just another one that's way too low with a backup quarterback projected in. So those are my four favorite picks. I feel like this is just a great week for Pick'em overall. A lot of soft lines out on the
board. Yeah, you can put the Flacco with Cooper, get two correlated plays with Stafford and Kupp, and Cooper, you put that on like a FanDuel or DraftKings, it would pay out what, like plus 500, and it's playing out plus 1,000 on underdog and a Prize Picks, etc. like that. So a very, very nice combination there. Chris, you've got a couple other numbers that you wanted to look at. I mean, it's just like Jake said, this is probably the best week for fantasy pick'em early in the week.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss something, but Prize Picks doesn't even have a Stafford number up. I didn't think I saw one earlier, but
they did not.
Yeah, they don't even have one up. So off that, I do like the under on Kyron Williams, 80.5 rushing yards. Not really anything negative about Kyron. We're just all pretty high on Stafford. I think that McVay will know to attack this Washington defense through the air and just like betting on the under on the rushing game. We already talked about Eckler over 26.5 is also on Prize Picks. I like the under on Mixon, 64.5, mostly just because I think Chase Brown does start to get more involved. Mixon's going to keep getting all those high value touches, but those are not where you rack up yardage. And then last one would be Josh Allen over 259.5 on Prize Picks. I already talked about how I like the Josh Allen matchup this week. He's going to have to put up points against the Cowboys, and I think he can get near that 300 yard mark this week.
Are the Bills defense wasn't so injured, They would easily be, I think, the best team in the AFC as it currently stands right now. I want it to be the Ravens, but they're not closing out the games like they should for me. And I think the Bills with the new OC, they're switching up a little bit. It's not only going to Stephon Diggs. They're starting to run the ball more. I saw it last week in Kansas City. I know we had the lateral sort of taken away, so we don't really, in theory, know who the best team was in that one. It looked like the Chiefs were probably going to score on that one if Tony didn't line up off sides. But I think that it's probably, I don't know, the Bills, are the Dolphins fake? They just lost to the Titans. There's not a good team in the AFC. It's very tough for me to try to work that one out.
Yeah, if Tyreek has a injury is real at all, that the Dolphins are done.
He is the MVP. He looks like the MVP, like, because that team, they were horrible without him for what, those 2.5 quarters he wasn't playing in week 14.
Yep.
All right. I think that's going to about do it for the week 15. We covered DFS, sports betting, fantasy pick'em. Go get that Matthew Stafford number on underdog. I'm staring at it. It's still there. Won't be there when you wake up in the morning. Sorry for all those that watch not on Tuesday Night Live. But yeah, like that one. Plenty of information. Make sure to check the weather as the week progresses. There could be some sticky spots as we progress later in the season. Always important to note that again from sports betting and for DFS. Other than that, everyone have a good time. Chris, I want to thank you for filling in on short notice. Jake, always good seeing you. We'll be back here next week for week 16 on the Prime Point Show. For Jake and Chris, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, and we out, chat.
We'll be right back. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.